most of you know, I've been off the road, still recovering from my arm surgery, still off the road for a couple more weeks, and got out of the house a little bit more this week, though. Started visiting some people and calling and doing things, and it was a really good week. All in all, it was a really good week. It was good to be able to get out and visit people and call people. There were different reasons for each one of them. But one thing in common, they just need somebody to check on them. Somebody just to be there. Maybe just for a brief moment. I was shown the effects of reaching out to people this week. And the visits were more than just spots on the calendar. They came as a result of being laid on my heart by the Holy Spirit. Some people might be thinking, how can a visit, a phone call, a text be a call from God? How many times in our lives has a kind word or a presence just at the moment been something that kept you from turning left or something to help you put one foot in front of another? I can remember one time years ago, I was having my oil changed. And I think, Shane, you were with me. We were over at Princeton. It had been a And that's been a long time since a gas station has been ran over in Princeton, for anyone who knows the area. And it had just been an awful week. If it could have happened, it did happen. And I was getting our I was getting the oil changed, my old Ford Torino. And guy comes out, he sits down with us, and he says, it's hard. It's just hard work. It's just hard out there. It can be cold, but you just got to keep on going. And he got up, and Shane and I looked at each other, long hair and all, and thought, wow, this just happened. This did not just happen. It happened for a reason. A word, a presence can make so much of a difference. If you're a Christian, how'd you best learn about Jesus? Through words? On a screen? Or through the actions of other people that were Christians? Think about the strongest Christians that you know. How'd you know they were? Was it by them being on display or them interacting in your life? I'm nothing special. That point, that time in this week, I was able to answer the urging of the Holy Spirit for these times. Infallible? No. Mister? Yes. And it made me start thinking, though, about if one person just helped another person to come to Jesus or to help that person with the Holy Spirit in your heart. There are people that think that it's the job of the pastor to bring people to Jesus. It is. But it's the job of every Christian. When Jesus in Acts returned to heaven, I think it's Acts 1:8. He was talking to the disciples, and when you accept Christ, you become a disciple. Believers have a responsibility to spread the news of Jesus to those that don't know Jesus or those that have backslid. And Jesus told his disciples in 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the remotest part of the earth. Ronald Reagan said, we can't help everyone, but everyone can help someone. Started reading from the Bible, from commentary, found this actually from the book of Acts. It's a classic story of somebody that's helping someone by sharing the gospel with them. Angel of the Lord came to Philip. And now this Philip was a different one that was a disciple of Jesus. This Philip was one of the deacons of the original church in Jerusalem. And he had a very successful history. At this point in time, by the time this angel of God contacted him, they had already branched out into Samaria, which was northern Israel. And they had already branched out several places to start. Had four daughters, all of whom ended up becoming prophets. Became the bishop of a church started in Tralles, which is in modern-day Turkey. This person this was really unusual that angel would appear. In the Old Testament, there were stories and stories of angels appearing. The New Testament, 18 times out of the entire section of the New Testament, angels appeared to humans and spoke to them. So this was something really unusual. The place where the angel was wanting him to go was literally in the middle of nowhere. Scorpions, desert, robbers. That was it. Philip was a believer when it wasn't popular to be a Christian. Especially to be a church leader in Jerusalem at that time, he was putting himself up for arrest, beatings, potential death. Did he hesitate? So he got up and went. How many of us have hesitated though? When you feel that little urging on your heart to go over and speak to that person or to contact that person that you haven't spoken to in a long time, I have. I really don't know if I want to open up that can. I really don't know if I want to do this. Philip didn't hesitate. He got up and he went. Look in this man's faith. Wow. I tried to think of some of the times that I ignored the call of the Holy Spirit. Why? I admit there were times I was embarrassed. Or too busy to do something for God. I'm guilty of it. I've been guilty of it. I think most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, have been there before. And we find a reason to brush it off. Because it can be a lot easier to talk to talk than to walk to walk as being a Christian. We may think we aren't prepared to do what we're called to do. God doesn't call the prepared. He prepares the call. God does not call the prepared. He prepares the called. And just so that, I repeat it so that can sink in a little bit. Because I had this beat over my head when I initially thought about ministry. Because I came up with every excuse in the book not to. All kinds of good ones. But this kept... I kept hearing this from multiple people. In the verses, like verse 27, when we think about Ethiopia today, I think about USA for Africa. I think about famine. I think about civil war. At the time of Philip, Ethiopia was one of the wealthiest countries in the world. It was known by Cush or Nubia, down below Egypt. There are a lot of people that say the riches of the pharaohs came from here. It was known for its gold. It was known for iron smelting, very specific spot for trade. And it was the entryway for goods to the rest of the continent to come up through Egypt. There was a lot of money in there. And Candace was a title for queen or mother. From the initial ruler of the Ethiopian kingdom. There are some people that say, like this ruler, the eunuch, and eunuchs were males that had their male parts removed. They were used as trusted individuals, as trusted officials from China all the way over. That there were rumors or out-of-church tradition that Judaism was already in Ethiopia at this time. It had been there for a long time. The story was the Queen of Sheba, who was mentioned in 2 Chronicles, and Solomon had a child together, Menelik. And he left back Sheba, the Queen of Sheba was Ethiopian. And Menelik went back, and Judaism was spread through Ethiopia. Zephaniah 3 verse 10, from the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshipers, my dispersed ones will bring my offering. Zephaniah was written 600 years before the birth of Jesus. And there was thought that when the northern kingdom was destroyed, the Assyrians carried and spread the Jews out. The lost tribes of Israel, the 10 tribes, and Ethiopia was one of the spots. So they're very familiar with the Old Testament. God never forgot them, never stopped loving them. Sometimes we think we're beyond God's love. Kind of like those Ethiopians far away from Israel, the Ethiopian Jews. But God didn't stop loving them. He didn't stop caring about them. And he was bringing something to them by way of this man, Philip. The Ethiopian had made a trip to Jerusalem. He was returning back to his land. And he was reading for one of the feasts that they were having up there. The Hebrews had a number of feasts. And him being a foreigner, he wasn't even allowed to go into the temple. But that's how strong his faith was. He wanted to go there, to Jerusalem. He was sitting in his chariot, reading scriptures, probably almost like a wagon, where there was a driver, there was room for 3 or 4 people. And it was moving slowly enough so Philip could come up to it. And reading aloud was common practice then. He either had someone doing it or he was doing it himself, because like the grammar rules, there weren't any separation of words. There was no punctuation. It was all literally just lines. And it went on and on and on. So you read aloud and figured out how to stop and the inflection on it. Sometimes I know people think that if you can't reach a lot of people, it's not really worth it. Philip just knew God wanted him to go. He didn't know why. But this was one person he was reaching out to. This story and God's words show that God didn't think that way. One person to help another person. Holy Spirit tells Philip, come up. Philip's a commoner. This man is a government official. How many of us have been like this Ethiopian now? Where Philip goes up to him, you understand what you're reading? How could I unless someone helps me? This is an educated man. And how many of us have been like this Ethiopian? I have. I would look at scripture in the past and not understand it. I would see people and hear them talk and I didn't understand what they were talking about or how it affected me. This was an educated man. This person right here, this Ethiopian, was the equivalent of our Secretary of the Treasury. That's how important of a person he was. Helping someone requires a couple of things. And first, someone willing to help. I have that in the story with Philip. Second, this person who needs the help must put aside their pride and their arrogance and allow themselves to be helped. And Philip probably looked pretty rough compared to this fellow. There have been times in my life when I needed help and it was laid on my heart to humble myself and listen. And then I'm reminded I have 2 ears and 1 mouth for a really good reason. In James, the book of James, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. The scripture that the Ethiopian official was reading, it comes from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. This section, he was led as a lamb to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, does not open up his mouth, and humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relay his generation, for his life is removed from the earth? Who's that sound like? It was Jesus. Isaiah was written 700 years before the birth of Jesus. The Ethiopian recognizes that he's talking about someone. Part of the confusion comes, though, the Jewish concept of a Messiah was different than God's concept. The Jewish concept of a Messiah was a conqueror, someone who would just come in and take the invaders away, restore Israel to what it was. God's idea of a Messiah with Jesus was so much bigger. It goes beyond the worldly kingdom. It goes beyond earth. It is a permanent heavenly kingdom. This world is not ours. We are passing through it. His concept of a Messiah goes so much beyond what the Jews were thinking. And this may seem strange that we're talking about, you know, why did they think that? We know Jesus, but how many of us have our own concepts of Jesus? Who has him steering the car? Who has him in the trunk as a spare tire or a set of jumper cables? I've been guilty of both. I've had him in command and in charge, and I've had him break glass in case of emergency. The eunuch talked to Philip. Who's the prophet speak of? Philip opened up his mouth and he began preaching to this official, to this educated man. And as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" This is an educated man from another culture, another way of life. He had a moment of wanting something more. This is a man that did not have to want for anything. He had servants. He had power. When he said move, people moved. He was in control of the gold that flowed into Egypt at the time. And the amount of gold, to give you an idea, who's seen King Tut's tomb, the treasures that come from it? They say that's one of the smaller tombs. The whole capstone, the top of the pyramid, the Great Pyramid, they say was covered in gold. That capstone was 2.5 tons. That's the type of gold that flowed from Ethiopia out. And this man had a moment where he wanted more, where he had a drastic life change. What caused it? Who was the person that God used? Was he someone that was his equal in stature? No. Wasn't the most educated, wasn't the richest, probably wasn't the smartest, or best looking or well spoken, but it was someone who said yes. Yes, Lord. They responded to the call of God. What came out of his mouth was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't him. The Bible doesn't say it, but I believe it. I've had it happen in my life. There have been times in my life when I've obeyed what was on my heart to do, and the words that came out in counsel and prayer, they weren't mine. I'll be the first to tell you that anyone that likes prayers that I do, they're not mine. The words are not mine, and I cannot recreate them the same all the way through. I couldn't. It comes from the Holy Spirit. What Philip said to this Ethiopian came from the Holy Spirit. If we're willing, the Holy Spirit will use us. This is something that's not just for pastors. This is for anyone who's willing to let the Holy Spirit work through them. And maybe what the Holy Spirit wants you to do, it may not be fancy prayer. It may not be explaining Scripture. It may be just listening. It may be just fixing the rail. It may be carrying some kid fishing, but it's his work. We think we're not prepared, but God's got a history of giving people the words to say. Moses, some of the most powerful words in the Old Testament came from Moses. God knew Moses in a way and used him in a way that he never did with anyone else. Moses was trying to backtrack out of it in Exodus 6 as fast as he could. We've seen the burning bush. I can't say I blame him. I might have been doing some backtracking too. And then I want you to go to Egypt. You're probably not going to get killed. And I want you to ask them to let all these slaves go. They're building all their big cities. And Moses in Exodus 6:29 through 7, verse 2. Lord spoke to him, I am the Lord. Talked to Pharaoh. I'm unskilled in speech. I don't have the tongue for it. I'm sure there's someone a lot nicer. I will help you find him, basically. And then the Lord told Moses, I will make you as a god to Pharaoh. I will give you the words to say. I will put them in your mouth. It will not be your words. They're going to be mine. But Pharaoh will listen. Are you willing? Being used by God, Philip helped this one man. Working through Philip, an ordinary man, God reached someone. God still calls ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Philip told the man, if you believe in all your heart, you may. And this man answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is a man that was raised as a Jew. This is a man that was taught the Messiah had not come. This is a man that made a monumental decision in his life. How? God used an ordinary man and put the Holy Spirit through him. The Ethiopian was baptized, came up out of the water. Philip was gone and was taken back to where he was previously at. He kept preaching. Philip would go on to reach many people. This Ethiopian recognized Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He had come to live and die for us. I think Philip was changed too. He wasn't hanging out in Jerusalem anymore. He let himself be used by the Spirit. Paul writes about the Holy Spirit in our lives, Galatians 5, 24 and 25. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be part of everyday life. It doesn't have to be just in prayer. There are those soft urges. There are those times where you feel led to help someone. And it may not be clouds open, light shines down, but it may be just a really soft little urging, and it's just consistent. The results can be amazing. When you carry God's word outside of these walls, the results can be amazing. Through the efforts of one man. Don't believe me? Today, 63% of Ethiopia's population is Christian. In their area of Africa, they're surrounded by a ring of Islam. One man. One man who helped someone else. The government in Ethiopia is not friendly to these Christians. They've removed them from all education and media. Sounds familiar. These people hang on to a faith that's amazing. They're regularly attacked. They still hold on to 63 out of every 100 Ethiopians still claim to be a Christian. One man started this who is willing to say yes and act. Where did this flower of Christianity come from in this field of Islamic weeds? Everyday man answering the call of God and the Holy Spirit to help someone else. We may not see the effects of our labor and our efforts when we're called on by the Holy Spirit. But imagine a still pond and a single stone thrown in it. The waves go across the pond, ways that we may not can see. God has a work and has a plan that goes way beyond what we can comprehend. And we don't see the efforts of it. Like, we don't see that when we hang on for our children and it is tough, we don't see the effects that will have on them and their children, the generations, the people. When you walk with Jesus and you walk with God and you walk that hard road, the effects it has on your children, on the people around you, you never know who's looking. Our children, how many times do we think they're not listening? How many times have we had a four-letter word come flying out from them and it sounds vaguely familiar? Yeah, road rage issues, but that's a separate message. And if we're willing to help someone, there's no telling what it may add up to. Philip's willingness to help led to 69 million Christians in Ethiopia today. One man. Before we go to God in prayer and song, I want you to think about that next time that you get that urging, that gentle urging to speak to someone or do something for someone, and you're not sure where it's coming from, and you're not sure, do I really need to be doing this? I got to get this done. It's really none of my business. And all the excuses, I can tell you all of them because I've used all of them. Think about one man. Think about Philip, one person. One person. Pray about it. If it's coming from God, you will feel it. If you are being led to do something and it's not in here, no, that ain't God. But if you're being led to do something that corresponds with Jesus' commands and God's commands, it may be subtle. It may be like a bulldog. But when you keep thinking, what good will it do? Think about Philip. One person willing to help another. The effects that we have in this life echo on through and through. We are at a time out here in this world, we are fireflies in the darkness. We are being consumed by the darkness. We are literally fireflies in the dark. The effects of one person to help bring a little more light in this world, you can't overestimate it. We have kids killing kids. We have people parading down streets doing God knows just awful stuff. We have things going on in this world. It ain't in Atlanta. It ain't in New York. It's in Anderson. Greenwood, I would not go into some parts of Greenwood without a tank right now. We have a city that size that's having as many killings and shootings as they're having. We are fireflies in the darkness. Only thing that will get rid of darkness is light. The true source of light in this world is Jesus. Jesus uses the Holy Spirit. Father, the plan, the Son, the project manager, to get it done. He is the way to get from the planner. Us, we go through Him, we get to the planner, God the Father. The Holy Spirit is the day-to-day person that runs us all around. He is the advocate, He is the helper, He's the guider, He's the leader. He is the one we interact with. They're all the same God. We are fireflies in the darkness. But don't ever underestimate the effect of one light, one candle in the darkness. It can make a difference. What is more comforting, even one candle in the dark room can be comforting, and it can shine light. And from one candle, another can be lit, and another can be lit, and the darkness will decrease. I'm going to get everybody to come, rise with me in prayer. The altar is going to be open. The songs are going to be playing. As we go to prayer, maybe there's that one person that you are thinking about and your heart's heavy for them, and you just don't know. If they died right now, where would they go? And I think that's something we need to ask each other, ask ourselves. If we die right now, where would we go? And if you don't like the answer, go to God. I'm a mess. I promise you ain't the first one that's ever said, because I've said it plenty of times. I'm a mess. I don't know what to do. It's okay. The same Holy Spirit that took that man 60 miles from his home and talked to that Ethiopian and led the way for 69 million people to know Christ is the same Holy Spirit that's here today and still wants to lead people towards Christ. He needs people to help. He needs people to work. He needs the lights in the darkness. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, we ask that you give us willing hearts. One person to help another. One person can't help everybody, but if just one person can help another to know Christ, to be led, to be humbled, to give us the words, give us the actions, to clear our minds. Father, we can make more light in this darkness. Father, each of us has someone in our mind that we know that has turned away from you. Father, someone that is struggling from everything from addiction to financial trouble to everything that's out here in this world, health problems. Father, we lift those people up to you because they are in the greatest danger. Father, to open their hearts, to put down the bottle, put down the pills, put down whatever it is, put down the syringe. Father, we lift them up to you. Father, a lot of people want to help, but we don't know how. Use the Holy Spirit. Give us instruction. Walk with us. Give us the courage to do this and the words to say. Father, for those people that are not in this church this morning, for whatever reason, health, travel, what have you, Father, we lift them up. Please help them to understand the same thing, to take in this message so that we may take it out of these walls into this world. That's the only way we're ever going to change anything in this world. One person at a time, one family at a time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Altars are open.